All right, let's be real for a sec. Have you ever met someone who hasn't complained about the weather? Like, ever? Too hot, too cold. It seems like we're all walking around with our own personal thermometers going off all the time. But get this. That whole temperature dance isn't just happening out here in the real world. It's happening inside every single one of our cells, too.
Yeah, it really makes you think. How do those tiny molecular machines keep everything humming along, whether we're having a snowball fight or sweating through a heat wave?
That's exactly what we're diving into today, the wild world of RNA and how it deals with temperature.
We usually think of DNA as the big shot in the cell, calling all the shots.
Right, DNA gets all the glory.
But RNA, well, RNA is the unsung hero, especially when it comes to handling those temperature swings.
Yeah.
And to guide us through this, we're tapping into a 2022 research review from the Computational and Structural Biotechnology Journal.
They've pulled together some really cutting-edge discoveries about how RNA actually functions, adapts, and even ends up shaping some pretty major life events, all thanks to temperature.
It's amazing how much power these tiny molecules have. Speaking of extremes, let's talk about the most intense environments on Earth for a second. Think like the freezing Antarctic or the scalding depths of a volcano.
You might be surprised to learn that life not only exists in those places, but
We're
thrives.
talking about extremophiles, right? The ultimate survivors.
Exactly. And what's so captivating about extremophiles isn't just their toughness, but what they teach us about the possibilities of life itself.
It's like their existence just throws the whole rule book out the window.
It really does. Take, for instance, Methanococcoids bertoni. It's an archaeon that lives in, get this, Antarctic lakes.
Antarctic lakes. So we're talking seriously cold temperatures.
Seriously cold. And it lives comfortably between 2 degrees C and 28 degrees C.
Hold on, 28 degrees C? That's what, like room temperature for most of us? That's their upper limit?
You got room temperature is like a sauna for these little guys.
I feel overdressed just hearing that, but I'm guessing that's nothing compared to something like, what was it, Pyrococcus furiosus?
Now, there's an organism that lasts in the face of boiling water. They can thrive at temperatures up to 100 degrees C.
100 degrees C? That's incredible. I could barely handle a hot bath.
And that's exactly what's so fascinating. These examples just go to show how evolution has equipped life to not only survive, but actually flourish across this insane range of temperatures.
It really makes you wonder, where else in the universe could life exist given these crazy adaptations? Like, maybe our definition of the Goldilocks zone is way too narrow.
You might be onto something, but bringing things back down to Earth and to us, we maintain a pretty steady internal temperature, right?
Yeah, that's what our body temperature is all about, right? Keeping things stable.
Right. But it's more of a balancing act than a constant. Our cells actually experience temperature differences all the time. Think about the difference between, say, your core temperature and your fingertips on a freezing day.
Oh, tell me about it. My fingers turn into popsicles even with gloves on.
And just like that, you've illustrated how your cells are constantly dealing with these microenvironments with their own temperature variations.
Wow, I never thought of it that way. So even within our own bodies, there's a whole world of temperature differences going on.
And it gets even more interesting. Research suggests that mitochondria, those are the powerhouses of our cells, might be working at much higher temperatures than we originally thought, maybe even close to 50 degrees C.
Wait, 50 degrees C? That's like a hot bath inside each cell. Wouldn't that cook those delicate molecules, like RNA?
That is the million-dollar question. Researchers are working hard to figure out how some molecules, RNA included, have adapted to handle such intense internal heat.
So RNA is tougher than it looks. But how does temperature even affect its structure in the first place? It's not like DNA, all neat and tidy in its double helix, right?
You got it. RNA is way more dynamic than DNA. It folds itself into these complex 3D shapes, kind of like proteins do, and these shapes directly determine its function.
So temperature plays a role in this whole folding act.
The crucial role. Think of it like this. Imagine a delicate origami crane. If you add heat, those folds are going to loosen, maybe even change completely, right? And that's going to affect the final form.
So more heat, more unfolded RNA, those tiny strands basically just loosen up.
That's the gist of it, yes.
Right.
Heat messes with the weak bonds holding RNA's structure together, which can impact its ability to, do its job.
But I have a feeling there's more to the story.
Always. This sensitivity to temperature is actually what makes RNA such a versatile player in the cell. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
So it's like this vulnerability is actually a strength.
Exactly. You see, some RNA molecules evolve to actually use this sensitivity to their advantage, becoming what we call RNA thermosensors. These are sections of RNA that change their shape based on those temperature fluctuations.
Wait, so RNA isn't just being pushed around by temperature. It's like it's sensing its environment and reacting to it.
Precisely. It's like having a built-in thermostat at the molecular level.
Now, that's what I call adaptation. But can you give me an example? How do these RNA thermosensors actually work in a living thing?
Sure. A classic example is the cSPA gene found in E. coli bacteria.
E. coli. Like the stuff that sometimes makes people sick.
The one and the same. So at a comfortable 37 degrees C, this gene's RNA forms a tight structure that actually blocks protein production. But when the temperature drops to a chilly 10 degrees C, that structure rearranges, like flipping a switch, and allows the cell to make those cold shock proteins it needs for protection.
So it's like the RNA saying, brr, better bundle up. It's mind-blowing how these tiny molecules are making these life-or-death decisions based on something as simple as temperature.
It really is. And it's not just a bacterial thing either. We mammals use similar RNA thermosensors too.
Oh yeah, we have those too. I had no idea.
We do. One example is the cold-inducible RNA binding protein, CRP for short, which keeps our cell division in check when temperatures drop, making sure things don't go haywire when it gets cold.
So the CRP protein is keeping our cells from, like, going into overdrive in the cold. That's amazing.
It highlights just how complex and interconnected this whole system is, even in organisms as complex as us.
So we've got these RNA thermosensors, these like tiny cellular thermostats, sensing and reacting to all these temperature shifts.
And their reach goes way beyond just, you know, messing with protein production or cell division.
Really? Like what else can these temperature-sensitive molecules influence?
Get this. Thermosensing RNA is even involved in something as fundamental as sex determination in certain reptiles.
Wait, are you serious? You're telling me the temperature of an egg can determine if a baby turtle will be male or female? How is that even possible?
It's a perfect example of how RNA and temperature are intertwined to shape life as we know it. Some genes, the ones involved in sex development, actually have these RNA thermosensors that respond to very specific temperature ranges during incubation.
So during that crucial time when the embryo is developing, the temperature is like this external signal that can influence which genetic pathways get activated.
Exactly. These thermosensors can even control RNA splicing. It's basically like rearranging the building blocks of a gene to create different versions of a protein.
So it's like RNA Legos. They can build different structures depending on the temperature. That's wild. But we've talked a lot about RNA being super sensitive to temperature. Is there a limit? Can it get too hot for these molecules to actually work?
That's the million-dollar question. We've seen how RNA can fold and unfold with temperature changes, but there is a breaking point. Too much heat can actually break those RNA molecules down completely. It's called hydrolysis.
Hydrolysis, what is that?
It's like if you took a delicate chain and threw it into a boiling pot of water, it would just dissolve under that intense heat.
Ouch. That doesn't sound good. So how much heat are we talking about before things start falling apart?
Well, at a scorching 100 degrees C, even short RNA molecules are going to degrade in just minutes.
Wow, so no more boiling our RNA, I guess. So does that mean there's a hard limit on where life can exist temperature-wise?
It's a serious challenge for sure, but, well, life finds a way, right? Remember those extremophiles we talked about?
The ones that love extreme environments.
Those are the ones. Some of them, the hyperthermophiles, have actually evolved these incredible adaptations to protect their RNA from those super high temperatures.
Oh, right. They're practically built to chill out in boiling water. How do they pull that off?
Well, they've got a few tricks up their sleeves. Some use other molecules to shield their RNA from that intense heat, like a sort of molecular heat shield.
A molecular heat shield. That's incredible. Evolution is so clever. So knowing how RNA handles these extremes from freezing to boiling, that's going to have some huge implications for things like research, right?
Absolutely. One area where this is really making waves is the development of mRNA vaccines, like the ones we used for COVID-19.
Oh, right. Those were a total game changer. But I've heard they need to be stored at crazy cold temperatures. Does that have to do with this whole sensitivity to heat thing we've been talking about?
It does. Those mRNA vaccines are super sensitive to heat because of that RNA. Heat can degrade them and makes them totally ineffective. It all goes back to those delicate RNA molecules and how vulnerable they are to heat damage.
Makes sense. So is there any way to make them more stable? I mean, it would be incredible if we could get those vaccines to more people without needing those specialized freezers.
That's a huge focus of research right now. Scientists are looking into all sorts of approaches to make these vaccines more heat stable. Some are even using encapsulation techniques. And get this, they're inspired by those heat-loving organisms we were talking about earlier.
So we're looking to extremophiles to improve our vaccines. That's amazing. It feels like everything we've been talking about is all connected.
It really is fascinating how interconnected all of these discoveries are. It just goes to show how much we can learn from nature, you know, finding solutions to these seemingly impossible challenges.
Learning from extremophiles, can you imagine? To make better vaccines. It really goes to show you, when we explore these extreme forms of life, it can lead to some pretty amazing discoveries.
No doubt. And it doesn't stop at just improving what we've already got, you know? By really getting down to how these RNA thermosensors tick, we can actually engineer synthetic versions for, well, all sorts of new things.
Synthetic RNA thermosensors. Now that sounds like something straight out of sci-fi. What can we even use those for?
Oh, the possibilities are, I mean, they're really exciting. Think about it. RNA thermosensors that deliver drugs only at certain temperatures, you know, targeting something like a tumor with incredible accuracy.
Wow, so precise.
Exactly. Or picture this, using these thermosensors in agriculture, they could control gene expression in crops, making them way more resistant to things like extreme weather.
Speaking of extreme weather, haven't there been so many more heat waves and cold snaps lately? Having crops that can handle those kinds of swings would be, I mean, that would be huge for everyone, right? For food security, especially.
You got it. It's a big deal. And these are just a couple of examples off the top of my head, you know. We've really only just begun to understand what we can achieve with RNA and temperature manipulation. It's like cracking a whole new code in biology.
That's a great way to put it. It's incredible to think that these tiny molecules, these RNA molecules, which, let's be honest, we often forget about because of DNA, they hold so much potential.
It really is. And it just goes to show how important it is to grasp those fundamental principles of life, even at the smallest level. Because these discoveries, they have a ripple effect. They impact everything. Medicine, agriculture, how will we even understand life itself?
Okay, so before we get too far ahead of ourselves with all the possibilities, let's bring it back and recap what we've learned today.
Sounds good to me.
We started with something pretty simple, how temperature affects all of us. And then we took a deep dive into the microscopic world of RNA.
And what a world it is. We discovered that RNA is so much more than just a messenger molecule.
Right. It's not just a sidekick to DNA.
Not at all. It's this dynamic, temperature-sensitive powerhouse that drives so many essential processes in life, from, you know, adapting to those extreme environments to maybe even influencing how entire species evolve.
Wow. When you put it like that, it's amazing. It's a good reminder that there's always something new to discover, even in the things we think we know. Like inside and out.
That's the beauty of science, right? There's always something new to uncover.
Absolutely. But to leave our listeners with a final thought, we've been talking about RNA and temperature here on Earth. But what about those other worlds out there, those environments we're just starting to explore?
Good point. What about them?
What about those icy moons around Jupiter or the scorching surface of Venus? What if, hidden away in those alien landscapes, there are organisms with RNA even more resilient? Even more adaptable than we can imagine.
What makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It really does. What secrets might their RNA hold? And how could that change how we view life and the universe? It's a humbling thought.
It really is.
And one that I think we can all carry with us as we, you know, just go about our day experiencing this world at every temperature. Thanks for joining us for this incredible deep dive into the world of RNA and temperature.